Morning, church. You know, as we were singing together, we, you know, it talked about that we would praise God for the blessings that He has offered us. And so this morning, before I go into what God has given me to do as a part of worship, I want to hear from you. I want you to think about this past week, or I want you to think about maybe this past month. I want you to think about the many ways that God has blessed your life. And would you be willing to praise God in His house today and give Him thanks for the blessings that He's given you?
Anybody still get choked up when they sing Amazing Grace?
Yeah.
I was over there and you have your moments of worship and you're just like, I think it's just you and the Lord. And I cry at weird different times. But it just, you can feel a misting because you know God loves you. And whatever, you know, sometimes you just need to be reminded that He loves you and He is with you day by day, minute by minute. And when we get a chance to praise Him, our faith and our trust in Him grows. And it's like He pours out more of Himself when we trust Him, when we just say, God, I want to love You with all of my being. I want to love You the way that You love me, with all of Your being. And I want to know You and I want to draw closer to You. And that's what we begin with our prayer today. Terry read this earlier, but I want you to hear it again. It's out of Psalm 86, verses 11. It says, teach me Your way, Lord, and I will live by Your truth. Give me an undivided mind to fear Your name. I will praise You with all of my heart. Lord my God, I will honor Your name forever. May that be our prayer today. Today we're talking about having whole heart. There we go. It does take me a few minutes to get used to the AV stuff as we get going. We're talking about a whole heart today. You know, we're coming to the end of a series on relationships. And all of the different conversations that we've had about the different kinds of relationships that are in our life. Our relationship with God, our relationship within the church, our relationships with other believers, our relationships with those who don't believe the same things as followers of Christ. You know, the relationship with the church and how it interacts with each other. And as we've had conversations about the different types of relationships, we can talk about the number one relationship every Sunday is our relationship with the Lord. And I don't know about you, but periodically when I read God's Word, I come across a word that just, it encapsulates my mind and my thoughts, and the word today is wholehearted. Have you read the Bible, and you get to the end of some verses, and they'll say, and so-and-so did that, and he did it wholeheartedly. And when I hear a whole heart, that is our goal. That is God's design for us. That our whole being would be focused on Him. That our minds would be focused on Him. That our actions would honor Him. That we would love Him completely. And so today we're going to take a look at what does it mean to be a wholehearted follower of Christ. And we don't often have many sermons out of the Old Testament, not particularly out of the book of Chronicles. And today we're going to venture into 2 Chronicles. So if you have your copy of the Scripture, go ahead and turn to 2 Chronicles. And we're going to jump in. We're going to take a look today, what does it mean to be wholehearted? Are we wholeheartedly giving ourselves in service to the Lord? Are we wholeheartedly loving God in every aspect of our lives? And I don't know about you, but being a wholehearted follower of Christ, that is the goal. But I know the reality is that I'm not there yet. I'm a work in progress. So when you hear things today, know that the goal is having a wholehearted, solely devoted unto the Lord, loving Him and serving Him, growing in Him, but we are all a work in progress. Wholehearted is defined like this. Oh, went backwards. To be totally focused. It means that we are passionately pursuing what is before us. Our complete whole self is going after it, totally focused. And in the context of being a wholehearted follower of Christ, our pursuit is Christ Himself. To know Him more richly. To heed His words. To know that He loves us. To go and to act and live our life in complete connection. To be totally focused on Him. We understand what it means to be totally focused in sports. An athlete understands the amount of training they must do in order to excel in their sport. They know the practice after practice, and then when game day comes, they put it out there. We know it through assignments at school. We know it from our job. We know what it looks like in our lives to pursue something with a whole heart, to completely give ourselves to something. It also means to be, well, we're going to get there, completely loyal. When you give your whole heart to something, you're completely loyal to it. You think about your marriage relationship. When you stand before God and when you give your vows, you are wholeheartedly giving yourself to the other one. And they are wholeheartedly giving themselves to you. You understand that. A marriage relationship is one where a complete loyal. A wholehearted follower of Christ is one who is completely loyal to Jesus. There is no other God. There is no Jesus and. There's Jesus and everybody else. Is over here. He wants soul devotion. He wants our words and our minds and everything. Even our friendships. It's complete loyalty. Do you have a friend in your life today that you would go and stand beside them through whatever? If you do, you are blessed. And if you have friends in your life that would stand with you, loyal, even when you are making mistakes, when you are making wrong choices, that's when you show the dire heart of a friend. They'll stand beside you, say, no, that's not the way to go. They love you even so much to tell you when you're doing wrong. Complete loyal. A wholehearted is totally focused, completely loyal. And in the Bible, we have these two individuals, Joshua and Caleb. They're great examples of individuals that live out wholehearted faith in God. And God would bless them throughout the Old Testament. They were the only two that were able to go into the land of Canaan and come back and say, yeah, we can do this. They trusted the Lord completely. They trusted what God showed them. And they were able to come back and say, yes, we can take that land with God's help. And it would take years before they would realize that. But God blessed their wholehearted devotion to Him. He would raise Joshua into the role of taking over after Moses had passed. Solomon. And we all know Solomon, there's good Solomon and there's bad Solomon in the Old Testament. This is many of us. There's good me and there's me that struggles with things. Solomon, though, on this, when he built the temple, he had this prayer of dedication at the temple and it demonstrated a wholehearted moment where he loved the Lord. He built that temple in honor of his father, but he also loved the Lord. He did it and he dedicated it. And when you read the prayer of Solomon as he dedicates the temple to the Lord, your heart just swells going, that I want to pray like that. I want him to be so devoted to the Lord that I want him in charge of every aspect of my life. And Solomon did that. But it was Jesus who gave us these words in the New Testament. Matthew 22:36 says, love the Lord your God with all of your heart and all of your soul and with all of your mind. It's a commandment. God wants our complete devotion to Him. He knows we wrestle with distractions. He knows we struggle with sin. But He wants, when He calls us into that relationship with Him, He wants us to be solely, undivided attention to Him. It is the goal, and it is not usually the reality for many of us. But it is the goal to live a life wholeheartedly devoted to the Lord. And today we're going to take a look at a king from the time of in the Old Testament. King, yep, Amaziah. King Amaziah was one of the few kings from Judah that was considered, in quotation marks, good. 6 out of the 16 kings were considered good. But when you read about their story, you can see that there was moments when they followed God's word, when they obeyed Him, it was good. But more often than none, they would fail, and they would turn and they would worship other gods. And when they did that, God would stand up against them and defeat them. He was considered one of the gods. At the age of 25, he took over being a king. Can you imagine being a king of a nation at the age of 25? So much of the stress, so much of the responsibility, so much of leadership at 25. I don't know if he had it. But I know at the beginning of his, he had God at the center. And then he had God's word that was guiding him. And God blessed. But then as life happens, he turned away and got away from his devotion to God. And we hear these words. This is kind of our key for this sermon today. 2 Chronicles 25:2 says, he did what was right in the Lord's sight, but not completely. Anybody, does that resonate with anybody? There are days when I do right and I can look back at all my activities, all my conversations, all my emotions, all my feelings, and I can be like, I'm 90%. I'm 80%. I'm 70%. And some days it's, I'm 20%. I did one good thing today. Anybody out there like that? Well, this king we're going to take a look at today did such things. King Amaziah's story, and the way that I'm going to do this, you can follow along in 2 Chronicles. And basically, I'm going to paraphrase and tell his story, but I'm not going to go verse 1 and verse 2. The verses go along with these statements. So follow along in chapter 25 of 2 Chronicles. He delivered justice for his father, King Joash, and he spared the lives of the innocent from those families. And what he was doing then was he had God's law in his heart. He knew that God's law said that you do not have to punish the children for the sins of the father. And you do not have to punish the children for the sins of the father. He knew God's word, and he obeyed God's word in that moment. He built an army. Whoops, sorry. Yep, come on. Oh, you know what? When I was talking, I went too fast. I apologize. Yeah, there we go. He built an army because he cared about his people to protect them from the enemies that stood around him. But unfortunately, when he needed more soldiers, he reached out to a nation of Israel, who at this time in their life were not living for God. They were not honoring God. And he reached out and he bought some mercenaries, some warriors to come be a part of that army. And God used a man of God to persuade Amaziah to not use the men from Israel. God would not go with Amaziah as he fought and he protected his people if he was going to go and use people who were against God, lived in rebellion of God, didn't want to have anything to do with God. And God cared enough for Amaziah that he sent a man of God and says, don't do that. Don't use men that are against me right now. Send them away. And he did. He obeyed the man of God as he shared with him. And that was good. He did what was right, but he complained. Anybody ever hear that? You do what is right, but you complain as you do it. He did. He complained. But what happened about the money that I used to buy these mercenaries, these warriors? And the man of God said, listen, if you give to God all of yourself, he is going to bless you beyond what you can think. Don't worry about the money. But you can already see the struggle in Amaziah's life. Amaziah did what was right, but he complained. And God helped him to defeat the Edomites. Awesome. Because he was doing what he was supposed to do, he was being obedient to God, he was following God's word, God blessed him and gave him victory over the Edomites. Yay! But for some reason, the king decided that I'm going to take the gods of my enemy, and I'm going to take their altars, and I'm going to create a place of worship of these foreign gods, and I'm going to worship him. And God was not pleased with that. The God who had given him victory now was pushed aside and let in all these other gods. Well, God loved him so much, he wasn't giving up on him. God did not like that he was worshiping the other gods, and he became angered. And he sent a prophet to speak up against Amaziah. God had not given up on this king. He sent another man of God to speak up. Don't do that, king. Do not worship these idols. Why do you think that these idols that these other pagan nations were worshiping, they had no power over the God of Judah, the God of the law of Moses, who just gave you the victory, who is with you when you obey Him and love Him. Why do you think that these gods have any power whatsoever? But Ahaziah was turning. He was turning away from God. He was turning away from God's word. And he told this man of God, why should I listen to you? Why should I listen to God's word and follow it? Why should I listen to God's man as he speaks words of truth to the earth? Why should I listen to you? Did you see what I just did? I just defeated this enemy. And I can do whatever I want to do. And I resonate with that king when I deal with my own sin and my own rebellion. Ahaziah's pride led him to challenge the king of Israel. Not only had he had victory because of God was with him and God had blessed him, but because of his own pride, he had gotten in his head and mind, now I have the power. Did you see what I did? And he wanted to challenge the king of Israel. And he even went over and talked to him. I want to fight you. I want to go into battle with you. And that angered God too. And the king, who at this point, like I said, was not honoring God with his life, was not leading Israel with a heart for God, used these words, and I know that God can speak through other people sometimes. Don't do it, king. Don't do it, King Ahaziah. You will be destroyed if you go against my army. You will be destroyed. But he did not heed the good counsel that God sent him. He did not heed his word by, not worshiping other gods but the God himself. Ahaziah did not listen to the good advice and he turned. And it ultimately destroyed him. God let Israel defeat Judah and the country was plundered. He did what was right in the sight of the Lord, but not completely. And every day is kind of like that for us. We have the opportunity to do right by God and with God's hand. But most of the time we are challenged and it is difficult to be wholeheartedly devoted to God. So what can we learn from this king? Three things today that I want us to think about. As we have the goal in our mind to live wholeheartedly devoted to the Lord. And the first thing I want us to think about, we need to obey God's word. You know, sometimes you get an opportunity to preach, and Leo is really great at this. He has a statement, and everything in it is big, and you get it. And I'm simple. And so when I point it, it's like, obey God's word. That seems obvious, but it doesn't make it easy sometimes. But God blesses us when we obey His word. God will not tolerate sin and those who choose to sin. There will be punishment here on earth, and there is eternal punishment for us if we continue in sin. If we do not repent, if we do not accept what Christ did on the cross, there is an eternal punishment for us. And there are punishments in our days. God will not allow us to do the things that we want to do if we continue to seek to rebel and act in a way that He does not encourage, or that doesn't keep our focus on Him. We obey God because we need to obey God's word because the battle against sin is daily. The struggle to remain wholeheartedly devoted to God is a minute-to-minute struggle. The moment we choose to not follow or to not read or to not study and just do as we please, then we're going to get away from being completely devoted to God. And when we get away from God, and when we get away from God's words, other things creep in. Other false religions, other false statements, other bad advice. My own inclination, my own emotions come up when we don't seek to obey God's word, to be in His word. Our hearts can be easily misled. We hear stories, our feelings can be misled. And we go with the crowd because we don't want to challenge that crowd. We don't want to be the person that looks different. Well, God has called us into a relationship with Him, and eventually by loving God and following His way, we look different. We're supposed to be the wholehearted devoted to the Lord, to serving with hearts, giving ourselves to Him. And Amaziah, like his father, had moments where he lived honorably for God, and he had other moments where he failed. See, his daddy was the king before him. And he had a priest that kept him on the straight and narrow, kept him following God's word. And when that priest died, he decided to do whatever he wanted, and he died. And so when you take God's word out of our day, it is real easily misled. He knew the law of Moses. He responded to God's word when the prophet, God's word not only comes from the word, it also comes through people. God will speak through people, and if you get so far out of commission, you're not following God, God will send somebody through His Word, through a friend, a trusted friend who loves you and cares about you. He will send somebody to speak a word, and He wants you to return to Him. And he responded to God's Word at the beginning, and he got with God. He rejected God's Word eventually about idols, and ultimately, he rejected God's man, who was trying to keep him on the straight and narrow. And it doomed him. And just like always, when a king doomed, and he was supposed to be a king that honored the Lord and followed the Lord and the Lord's commandments, when godly leaders fail to let God lead, it not only impacts their life, it impacts those that they're to care about. And it mattered because now Judah was captured and plundered. And it would be years later before they would come under the rule of God and God's leadership. Too far. The second thing, seeking to live wholeheartedly as a follower of Christ, that we're to obey God's word, we're also to listen to godly advice. You know, as we read about King Amaziah, he wasn't in, God had sent him quite a few people that cared about him and kept him following God's word. God sent a man of God to be the voice of reason. You know, in the book of the Chronicles, it is a man of God is mentioned 38 times. God is always putting us in situations to speak truth into people's lives. You work at where you're at to be a voice of truth from God's Word. You're in your families to bring the Word of God to your families, not only to your children, but to your family, to love them. God sends His men of God or women of God to be the voice of reason. And when we stray, God lovingly will send a word to us, calling us back onto the right path through the Bible and through godly friends. And godly advice is not always joyful. Amen. Godly advice is not always, the best thing I want to hear, especially if I'm dealing with a sin. Or it's a blind spot, something that I didn't even know that I had and I was doing. And it doesn't honor the Lord. And God sends somebody, hopefully, lovingly, to come beside me and say, you know what, God? You're doing this. And depending on how it's delivered and depending on how I respond to it, it might not be the most joyful experience. But because God loves us and He wants us to stay focused on Him, stay connected with Him, He does send us those who He loves, to reach it back to us and pull us into it. Godly advice is not always joyful. It is not easy to hear that you're a sinner, that you make mistakes, that you're not honoring God. It's not easy to hear that you need to repent of your sin. You need to come back and humbly bow before God. Dave, it is not easy to hear that. But I know I need to hear it, and maybe we as a church, we need to hear it. God blesses faithfulness and obedience. And when we get out of tune with that, like I said, He sends word through His word, a word through His people. Sometimes He even sends a word through a person who doesn't necessarily have to honor the Lord themselves, but God can speak because He cares about you. And hopefully, maybe that person, wow, if God got you through me, and I don't even know if I love God, I don't even know if God exists, maybe there's something about your God. And they begin to have a conversation. God blesses faithfulness and obedience. And Amaziah responded correctly at the beginning of our story today when the man of God stood up and said, no, Turn back to Him. Don't do this. It doesn't honor God. And we eventually saw when he totally got to a point where he turned away from God and godly advice, it ultimately destroyed him. He did what was right, but not completely. We need to listen to godly advice. And if you don't have godly advice, my fault in that is you're probably not connected in a church. You're probably not plugged into a church to where you're actually building relationships with people to allow people to speak truth into your heart, to actually care about what you're going through. Because here in church, we do have brothers and sisters in Christ, and we care about each other, and we walk beside each other. And sometimes one brother gets out of tune with the Lord. And he needs to know that I'm going to come beside him and say, I love you, man, but you're out. You're out of it right now. And I need you to turn back to God. And so my guess is that if you're out of tune with God, you're probably not in a place to hear God's word to you to return. So, we obey God's word. We listen to godly advice. And the last thing, we have to balance confidence and humility to God. We must keep ourselves humble so we don't build ourselves up. That's what this king dealt with. When he honored God's word, and he acted in a way out of God's word and treated his people with God, you know, God's word at his heart, God blessed. And when he responded, because he got out of sorts from God, and God sent a word, and he responded the way that God wanted him to do, God blessed. But when he didn't, what creeped inside of him, what's inside of all, was the pride. The pride that said, I led the army to defeat the enemy. I am the one who made those choices. That's what pride is. I did this. I'm good. I'm the great one. Forgetting who gave you the strength, who gave you the ability, who gave you the skill, who gave you the opportunity to serve and do the things that honor God. We must keep ourselves humble so we don't build up ourselves. Humility is a struggle for all of us. I wrote down on my notes that humility is a struggle for some, but the reality is humility is a struggle for all of us. Because we'll have areas of our life where, yes, I'm humble before God. I know God's in control. I trust God. I believe Him. He's going to see me through. It's good. But there'll be another area of my life where I might struggle. And that's a place of growth. And God is asking out of a person who is wholeheartedly focusing on Him to be humble, to serve Him faithfully. The king's success began to cloud his decision making. And that happens. When God blesses and things are good, you have to watch that you don't let yourself build yourself up greater than God. It's okay to appreciate how God has wired you and the talents and skills and the things that God has allowed to be, you know, you to accomplish and be successful in His name. But don't forget the one who gives you that success. Praise Him for the gifts that He gives you. Praise Him for the opportunity to serve Him. Praise Him for the good things that can occur. But don't forget who is the one who gives you that opportunity. Humbled obedience. How about you today? Like so much a black belt. How about you today? Are you striving to follow God's word? If you're currently not reading God's word, you're not striving to follow God's word. You must daily read God's word. Maybe it's a little snippet, maybe it's chapters, maybe it's a topic. And you're just seeing what God has to do. We must strive to follow God's word. We must study it. We must ask God to apply it to our lives. A day without God's word is a day with life, without like talking to those you love. And I can get busy too. And I can run through my time of devotion, my time of reading God's word, and I can just read something and not feel its impact. But you still need read God's Word. You need to study. And the reason for that is because when we leave the house every day, we're going to face and encounter things, words and phrases and people and lifestyles, and there's going to be a whole lot of stuff that we're going to face. And if we don't have God's Word anchoring in His truth, giving us His power and His strength and His patience and His encouragement, we're going to get blown away. And there's going to be things that frustrate us. And there's going to be things that we have no control over. There's going to be things that we don't know what we're going to do about. But when we have God's Word, we know when we can trust His promises. We can trust those that He has written about. We can learn from their mistakes. We can learn from their successes. We can learn how to be like Christ by reading His Word. What kind of advice is guiding your life right now? Where are you getting that advice from? And I'm just going to leave that. There it is. Coming back. I don't know if that one was mine, okay? What kind of advice is guiding your life, and where are you getting that advice from? If it's not coming from the Word of God, if advice is coming not from those who love God and have godly interest at the heart and that love you and care about you, then the advice, you have to watch that advice. All advice that you get from someone, you need to be able to balance against God's Word, God's Spirit. And if it doesn't reign true with God's Word and God's Spirit, it's probably advice you do not need to heed. And it'll be out there because everybody that you work with has some advice about something. Even if they have nothing to do with it. Even if they have no clue what they're talking about. Everybody has a word of advice about something. And the last one, do you feel like you're serving God humbly? Or can you pick out the areas of your life where you're too prideful right now? I ask those questions because, like I said at the beginning, the goal is that we would wholeheartedly be devoted to God. And it is hard, and it is challenging. And even those that God commends were men and women of faith who wholeheartedly did whatever God wanted them to do or say whatever God did, they probably had days that were struggles. And they probably had days that were difficult. God didn't put them in the story for all the time. He just said that they were completely devoted to me. They loved me. They served me. But they probably had days that were tough. As we have days that are tough. And I'm encouraging you today, if you are not wholeheartedly devoting your complete life to God, what is holding you back? Maybe it's a sin in your life. And so today, this is the day that we can give back to God. We can repent. We can come into His house and say, God, help. Forgive me for filling the blank. I need to be made right today, God. And I want to be right with You today. And because of Jesus, we can be right with God today. And if in some area of your life you're not wholeheartedly devoting yourself to God, ask God why. And God will answer you and tell you why you're not. God wants every one of us to be wholeheartedly devoted to Him. And when that happens, God can use us. God can do things in us that we can't even imagine God ever using us for a certain reason. And God not only touches our lives, but please note, you are connected to other people in this world because God works in us and through us. And if my heart is not completely devoted to God, I wonder how many other people that's impacted. How many other people that if my heart was right with God, God could use me more, God could work through me, God could say something, God could use that to reach out and touch other people. And when it's not, think of all the people that we might miss, pointing them to Christ and to knowing God. And so today, I'm going to invite the musicians to come. It's an invitation to check your hearts today. Are you wholeheartedly giving yourself to God? Maybe there's something in your life today that is a distraction, something that is keeping you from being wholly wholeheartedly devoted to Him. Maybe today you're right there. You give everything you are to the Lord. Your mind, you think about God. You think about His Word. You're totally there. And so today, I would encourage you, brothers and sisters, to pray for the person who's struggling, who might not be there today. And when you start to pray for each other, I'm amazed that God brings a person to your mind. That's the person that you probably need to pray about, but also reach out to them. You're not in it by yourself. That's the great part about being part of a church, is that when your name or your face or however God pops another person into your heart, there's a reason for that. To help us stay connected. To hopefully hold each of us accountable to live lives wholeheartedly devoted to God. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and we're going to pray. And as we have this time of invitation, maybe you want to pray for something. I invite you to come forward and we'll pray about that. Whatever it is. And I'll be praying for you as you wrestle with God and what His Word says. Lord Jesus, we praise You this morning. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You that Your Word is filled with stories of individuals that, you know, some moments they loved You and some moments they didn't love You, God. But God, You desire to have a relationship with every person that You have created. You have made a way for all of us to be forgiven of our sins and that we can accept that action of Jesus, His giving of His life, and receive a new life in Christ. We can be forgiven today. We can know You today. And I pray for those who are in this room today, Lord, that might be struggling with a particular part of their life, Lord, that keeps them from wholeheartedly giving themselves in service to You. God, let us come to You today and give up whatever it is so that we can wholeheartedly serve You. We love You in Christ's name. Amen. But everybody just stand.